Hey friends, we won't be taking calls today. Sit back and enjoy this pre-recorded show.
Jesus rose from the dead. We know it, and we know he sent his spirit to empower us. The question is, what is the spirit doing today? And are we ready for it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
During the sacred holiday of Passover, Jewish families around the world give thanks to God for liberating the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt and delivering them to the promised land of Israel. For Christians, we remember the suffering and death of God's only Son and his glorious resurrection on the third day.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to hear President Trump saying that to the nation. Whether he knows the Lord personally or not, I don't know. We certainly pray for him. But I'm glad to hear our president speaking those words as opposed to having an atheistic country and an atheistic leader, or say a strict Muslim country and a Muslim leader. Glad to be here in America. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to today's broadcast. Yesterday, think of it, it was April 1st, but no April Fools. Jesus really rose from the dead. I wrote an article about that Saturday that posted on Sunday. It's saying this settles everything. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead settles everything. It means every word he spoke is true. He not only rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. All authority in heaven and earth is given to him. This is what the scriptures teach us. That means every word he spoke about himself is true. Every word he spoke about the future is true. It means that light triumphs over darkness. It means that in the midst of the darkest tunnel, there is light now and there is light in the future. It means that there is a reason for eternal hope. It means that whatever pain and agony you're experiencing today, as horrific and devastating as it might be, you can truly put your trust in the risen Lord, and he will bring life out of death, and he will bring comfort out of pain if you lean on him. 866-348-7884. Any Holy Spirit-related questions that you have, by all means, give me a call. Again, 866-34-TRUTH, relating to the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, questions about charismatic issues and things like that, what God is and isn't doing, healing, miracles. We want to talk about those things with you. And I'm really excited. Even though I've written more than 30 books, I have tremendous excitement when a new book is coming out. And tomorrow is the official release date for Playing with Holy Fire. Many of you, several hundred of you, have pre-ordered copies, so you've already had them for some days now. But the book officially releases tomorrow. If you pre-ordered it in ebook form, it gets released tomorrow. Playing with Holy Fire, a wake-up call to the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, holding the book in my hands right now. And I was blessed to see this. It is now on Amazon, the number one new release in Pentecostal and Charismatic Christianity. So the day before it comes out, it is already the number one new release in Pentecostal Charismatic Christianity on Amazon. I do have a personal request for you, though, all right? If you have the book, or as soon as you read the book, if the book has been a blessing to you, go to Amazon.com. and post a review there. Even if you ordered it from your local bookstore, ordered it directly from our ministry, go there. If the book has been a blessing to you, post your review there. It's a great way of getting the message out to others. I personally look at reviews if I'm unsure about a product or unsure about a book. I look at the reviews, and the more meaningful reviews, the more helpful they are to me. And also because I always tackle controversial issues, we often get false reviews. In other words, a review from a critic who hasn't even read the book and is just hostile towards me. Or someone that's read the book, but through attacking eyes, and no matter what I write, they're going to criticize. We'll have that as we tackle controversial issues with the culture wars or controversial issues and reaching out to our Jewish friends and things like that. So here, too, we have enough folks that are critics that call me every kind of imaginable name, which is fine. I mean, it's part of the turf we live in. That's not an issue. But Sometimes they'll post reviews that are just negative to be negative. So we just ask for truthful reviews. So that's a great thing that you can do to partner together with us to help sound this wake-up call. Now, here's what's so important to understand. I am writing this as an insider and as an eyewitness to the life and power of the Holy Spirit today. Do you know that God is still healing the sick on a regular basis today? Do you know that at times God is even raising the dead today, just as he did in biblical times? And I would ask you, I'm a chapter and verse kind of guy. I'm a text guy. I really am. Opinions are great and they have their place, but the authority is in the Word. The authority is in the Word. I would love someone to show me explicitly where it says that we cannot expect God to heal the sick regularly today, or we cannot expect God to occasionally raise the dead. It was only occasional in scriptural times as well. I just need someone to show me chapter and verse where it says that we shouldn't be prophesying today, because I can show you chapter and verse that says that we should be pursuing the gifts, that we should be pursuing prophecy, that we should not forbid tongues. Someone says, well, real tongues, not your babbling. Well, first, have you listened to tongues of millions of different people around the world and analyzed the tongues linguistically? Have you ever been in a foreign country and heard someone speak a foreign language and it sounded like gibberish to you only to find out that was their language? You know, I've been overseas sometimes in some countries where the language is more exotic to me. It's different than English in some extreme ways. And I've heard someone get up during a service and deliver a short message, and I didn't know if it was tongues or their native language. To find it was tongues. Oh, it was their native language, and because they both sounded different to me. In fact, Paul says about services at Corinth that if an outsider came in and heard you speaking in tongues, they would think you were a barbarian. He said, a barbarian? What do you mean barbarian? Like Conan the Barbarian or some, you know, some? No. Barbarian was a name given to foreigners, invading foreigners and different ones. It sounded to the Greek speakers like they were just saying bar, 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 bar. In other words, it sounded like gibberish to them. So before you dismiss tongues today as, quote, gibberish, you ought to just step back and say, scripturally, that's what we're looking at, scripturally, where does it say that we shouldn't expect these things today? At the beginning of Playing with Holy Fire, so again, it is a word from an insider, from someone who is part of the Pentecostal charismatic movement worldwide, saying we need to wake up. We need to self-police better. We need to be careful with our doctrine. We need to get our house in order in terms of accountability, in terms of handling of money. There are many, many fine Pentecostal charismatic churches around the world. I work with some of the most amazing Christ-like men and women you'll ever meet on the planet, part of the Pentecostal charismatic movement, deep in the Word, in love with Jesus, living godly lives, living sacrificially to touch the lost. I mean, you'd be blown away to have some of the friends that I'm privileged to have, and I'm sure you have many fine friends as well. Many of you who are not charismatic say, yeah, I've got non-charismatic friends that are amazing. Amen. I believe that. I believe in Jesus. Amen. I believe that. But I'm saying this as an insider, because God is doing so much, because he's moving in such powerful ways, and because I believe we're going to see more and more in the days ahead, all the more do we need to get our house in order. Check this out, and this is at the beginning of chapter 1 in Playing with Holy Fire. The opening chapter is called The Spirit is Moving Mightily. The Spirit is Moving Mightily. And here's what I write. On July 16th, 1999, Life magazine produced an illustrated book titled The Life Millennium, The 100 Most Important Events and People of the Past 1,000 Years. So think of that. The 100 most important events from the year 1000 to 2000. How in the world are you just going to pick 100? I mean, there's so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of things to pick from that are important. They pick the top 100, all right? It was edited by Robert Friedman. Producing such a work required a team of hundreds of scholars and experts, some specializing in history, others in the arts, still others in technology. How difficult it must have been to narrow down the 100 most important events and people of the past 1,000 years. We're talking about things like Columbus's arrival in America, the first man to step on the moon, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the invention of electricity, all of them momentous events of massive scope and impact. That's why it's all the more remarkable that number 68 on the list of top 100 events in the last 1,000 years was the Azusa Street Revival, which began in 1906 and from which the modern Pentecostal movement spread across the globe. The 68th most important event of the last 1,000 years. This is written in 2000, the modern Pentecostal movement. And in many ways, you could say it's an understatement because now it affects well over a half billion people. Well, directly, at least a half billion people who identify as Pentecostal charismatic. But then the sweep from there of those that are affected, one scholar said it is the most powerful social movement of the century. So God is doing amazing things, friends. He is moving by his Spirit around the world. But we've got to get our house in order. Let me go back to the table of contents of Playing with Holy Fire and tell you what I cover in this book. After the introduction, the Spirit is moving mightily. The next chapter asks the question, why are we so gullible? Now, there's a positive side to that and a negative side. The positive side is we really believe the Word of God. And the Word of God speaks of many unusual things that God did. We believe them to be true. And then many of us as Charismatics Pentecostals have had unusual experiences in our own lives, because of which we are open to believe God to do unusual things today. But we are so miserably gullible. We can be taken advantage of so easily. It's so easy for us to believe someone that seems to be empowered or flowing in the Spirit or anointed and things like that. So while non-charismatics can be more circumspect, but their weakness is they can be cynical or skeptical, charismatics can be more willing to step out by faith. That's a strength. But the weakness is we can be so gullible. And in Playing with Holy Fire, I just pull page after page of email fundraisers from some manipulative leaders. Yeah, some scary stuff, crazy stuff, and yet people write in and send their hard-earned money. We need to wake up. We'll be right back. Shake the nation, change the world.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The thing that we should be labeling Michael Brown, the adjective that we should use for Michael Brown is the dangerous Michael Brown.
Danger. Every time I speak, they yell. Danger. Every time I speak, they yell. Danger. Every time I speak, they like danger.
You know, the gospel itself is dangerous. It's dangerous to the strongholds of Satan. It's dangerous to the status quo of dead religion. You know, the Holy Spirit is dangerous. He's dangerous to demonic strongholds. He's dangerous to the spirit of the age. I want to be dangerous in God's hands against the powers of darkness, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming lies with truth. Someone posted some nasty comments on YouTube that I happened to spot the other day in terms of folks that have been critical of me. And they said, man, just humble yourself and sit down and talk with them. I've been trying to talk to those very critics for a long time. That's what I've been trying to do. So I get blasted for that. I'm trying to continue gladly with joy. If you have a question about the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, by all means, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. There's a question by Boz on our YouTube feed. How does the charismatic movement impact the homeless, drug issues, racial issues? Oh, yeah, front lines of that around the world. One of my friends wrote to me from South Africa. He is a non-charismatic. He opposes the Word of Faith message. He said Word of Faith churches have hurt the churches in South Africa in many ways. But he said, man, you got to see what the charismatic churches are doing here in South Africa to help with social issues. It's amazing. Many of the groups that I work with have been on the front lines of racial reconciliation. In fact, the major meetings I've been together with, washing one another's feet and praying together and listening to one another, have been in charismatic Pentecostal circles on racial issues. And you can go city after city in America and around the world and find large and small charismatic churches are on the front lines of ministering to the needy. You know, our team in the Philippines, 50 people, men, women, and children that we've sent out that have been there some over 15 years. Not only do we have a full-time Bible school that is sending out missionaries from the Philippines, not only are our folks planting churches, but they are taking in children who were sold into sex trafficking. They're rescuing them from that. They are adopting abandoned babies. They have feeding programs for the poor. This is just a natural extension of the gospel. And drug issues, the number one most effective drug program in the world, Teen Challenge, far more effective than government-sponsored programs with all the good the government may be trying to do, has the highest success rate. I'm talking about of any major program, Teen Challenge, birthed by David and Don Wilkerson, frontline, Pentecostal, charismatic, relying on the Holy Spirit to bring about change. So, yeah, absolutely, 100% on the front lines there. William made a comment on YouTube in terms of problems in the charismatic movement. This is because charismaticism is basically emotionalism. Most early Pentecostal leaders and true ones today would rebuke the charismatic movement. Well, again, it's who you are speaking of. The vast majority of folks I work with around the world are not into emotionalism. They're into substance. Are we passionate about the Lord? Sure, but aren't we called to love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? And doesn't Paul tell us in Romans 12 that we should be fervent in spirit? In Greek, I think it's boiling. We should be fervent in spirit. And doesn't Paul write in 1 Thessalonians 5 not to put out the Spirit's fire? So we should be passionate, shouldn't be rejoice. We're called to rejoice in the Lord. David in Scripture celebrated the bringing back of the ark with all his might to the point that his own wife despised him for making a public fool of himself as the king of Israel. And he's, yes, in his view, yeah, I'll be more undignified than this. I'll rejoice even more freely because it's before the Lord. So absolutely, we are called to worship with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Emotionalism, which I steadfastly oppose, is just working people up in their emotions as opposed to having them respond to truth. I want people to respond to truth, and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to help them do that. I also want them to yield to the Holy Spirit. That means submitting heart, mind, life to the Lord. And sometimes in worship, I'm overwhelmed with who the Lord is, and the Holy Spirit's presence is so powerful, I just fall on my knees and weep in his presence because he's so amazing. And sometimes I get so overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord that I literally just dance and leap and spin and jump because I'm so blessed to be rejoicing in the Lord. And if the greatest miracle of all is not the healing of the body, but the saving of a soul, the transformation of a life. Well, if the lame man could walk into the temple leaping and jumping and praising God because he was physically healed, maybe we can walk into our church services leaping and jumping and praising God because we've been saved, because we've been forgiven. So, yeah, there is emotionalism that's out there, but there's bad everywhere. Listen, there is a principle that one rabbi once shared that another colleague of mine shared and so on. I believe the rabbi that shared it originally was Yitz Greenberg, if I'm correct. But it basically said this: it's wrong to take the best of our religion and compare that to the worst of someone else's religion. Meaning, I'm not going to take, say, as a Jewish person, the most beautiful, wonderful aspects of Judaism, compare that to the worst elements of Islam and think I'm being fair. What I need to say is, okay, here are the strengths and weaknesses of Judaism, and here are the strengths and weaknesses of Islam, or strengths and weaknesses of Christianity, or the strengths and weaknesses of Buddhism. In other words, compare fairly. The other day, reading this report about a lesbian couple with their 6 adopted children and speeding around a curve in where was it, California, I think. But anyway, tragic accident. They go off a cliff. Everybody killed. All right. Someone said, well, lesbian couple. What kind of nonsense is that to attack them because they're lesbians? That's why they went off the cliff. What about the heterosexual couples that go off the cliff? All right. What about the single people that go off cliffs? What about the religious people that go off cliffs? So, in other words, we can often do this. Yeah, look at this crazy thing on TV. Oh, okay, fine. So you got some crazy charismaticism over here, and then you got some spiritual deadness over here. I bet, all right, that, yeah, okay, so just looking at this headline, crash that killed lesbian couple and their six adopted children appears intentional, say authorities after revealing they plunged off the cliff at 90 miles per hour without braking. So people, yeah, you see what happens, lesbian couples. But that is the type of unfair criticism that's destructive and dishonest, because we don't say that when it's a heterosexual couple that goes off the cliff. So the same way, yeah, you want to pick an extreme here, and that's what I often see critics doing. And friends, it is destructive criticism. My goal in playing with Holy Fire is to be a constructive critic. And listen, I don't hold back. As you'll see in the book, I do not hold back. I am clear and to the point and grieved and examining my own life, okay? This is not a light in that respect. But it's edifying and encouraging because it is spoken with love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27. So that's the difference between my approach and a critical approach that throws everything out. I recognize the massive good that God is doing. And I say the tree needs to be pruned. All right? That's what has to happen. The refining fire needs to come. So, for example, the question about why are we so gullible? I've seen it myself in my own life, some very unusual prophetic words. And God leading me to do unusual things, and it turned out to be truly from the Lord. So I'll give you an example. One of my friends is at a Bible study, and there's a prophetic brother at this Bible study. So it's a home study, and he has a word for a young lady there, but he's afraid to bring it because it seems horrific. It seems unscriptural. It seems wrong, the way he's interpreting it, okay? But he feels compelled to tell her, and he says, as I'm praying for you, I hear the Lord saying, I hate mommies and daddies. What? God hates parents? No, that's not what God was saying. It was a specific word. I hate mommies and daddies. So what happened was the woman broke down sobbing and weeping and received a significant healing of some deep heart wounds that night. You say, I don't understand it. Okay. What happened was when she was a little girl, her father started to come into her bedroom and sexually abuse her. And the father called it, we're going to play mommies and daddies now. How horrific. How mind-bogglingly horrific. And he abused her. This went on for years. Terribly traumatized her. And made her wonder also, where was God during that time? Here's someone who doesn't even know her. Here's the Lord saying to her, I hate mommies and daddies. I feel your pain. I hate what was done to you. And it absolutely ministered to her and set her free. I've seen unusual things like that happen. And because of that, I'm willing to believe God and open my heart, test everything by Scripture. All right, open my heart, and out of my own experience walking with the Lord, trust his voice. At the same time, 1 John 4 says, don't believe every spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5 says, test prophecies. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, they must be judged. And often in the charismatic Pentecostal movement, because we don't want to quench the spirit, or we don't want to disobey the Lord, or whatever it is, or because we're flaky and we're not grounded in the word, we believe anything. And somebody can come along with the most bogus prophecy and we think it's from the Lord. And now they attach a financial sum to it and we write out a check for them. How can we be so deceived? It is time for us to grow up. I say this as an insider. I say it with love. Is it the norm everywhere? No, but it's a real problem that needs to be addressed. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire. I hope you had a blessed weekend. If you're part of the Passover celebration as well, welcome to the broadcast. And we celebrate every day, every moment of every day, the resurrection of Jesus, really the most important event in the history of the world, because the cross without the resurrection leaves us with no hope. The resurrection of Jesus, which validates every prophecy in Scripture, which validates the words that Jesus spoke, which tells us that he will certainly return, which tells us that there is always hope if we look to him. That is something that took place, and especially we celebrated yesterday, Resurrection Sunday. 866-34-TRUTH. The Holy Spirit is moving around the world. There's no question about that. One of my colleagues gave me a DVD that his ministry put together of miracles they've seen in Africa. You said, why does it have to be in Africa? Well, that's where they minister, in Africa. There are plenty of eyewitness testimonies to miracles here in the States. And Lee Strobel just put out his book, The Case for Miracles. Eric Metaxas has written on that. Craig Keener has written on that, also covering larger philosophical, biblical questions. Randy Clark, who's been a healing evangelist for years, has a book about to come out on miracles. More and more DVDs, they're being produced with testimonies because there's so much more available now and people can more easily get their testimony out or have medical documentation and things like that. But God's moving. The Holy Spirit's moving around the world. The question is, are we ready? Here, let's just say this. Let's say that you had a famine in your country, right? And you have a famine because there's been no rain. And now you get torrents of rain, thunderstorms for days. Now, on the one hand, a lot of that takes care of itself because the thirsty ground drinks in the rain. And if we're not spiritually hungry, when God begins to move, we're not going to be receptive. But there's also a matter of being ready for the rain. Do we need to have storage? All right. I mean, what if the ground gets so drenched, but then that's it? We had no way to store things. What about a month down? Do we have irrigation channels dug? Do we have wells where the water can go? What are the plans? Are we ready? So I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to move more and more. I believe it primarily based on Scripture, but also based on watching what God's done in recent history. And when I sense in my own heart, but I believe we can expect God to move more and more until Jesus returns. Remember Acts, the second chapter, Peter said that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was on all flesh during this period that we call the last days, which is from the death and resurrection of Jesus until he returns. So that's God's promise. That's God's word. And he is moving mightily all over the world. But I believe in many ways we need to get our house in order. My new book, Playing with Holy Fire, comes out tomorrow. Really excited about this. I felt strongly the need to write it. It is a wake-up call to the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, of which I am part. And blessed to see on Amazon, the day before the release, it is already the number one new release in Pentecostal and Charismatic Christianity. And there are quite a lot of books that come out on that subject, so I was glad to see that. If you have a Holy Spirit-related question, many times God moves and people respond in an immature way. Many times people claim something is God when it isn't God. How do we sort this out? How can we be people of the Word and the Spirit? Jesus rebuked religious leaders in his day and he said, you're mistaken because you don't understand the Scriptures or the power of God. It's not either or, it's both and. Jesus said in John 4 that the Father is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. I was looking at an account that my Messianic Jewish friend and colleague Ron Cantor had posted a few weeks back when Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. And it was about Billy Graham's encounter with the Holy Spirit in 1946 and how, listening to Stephen Olford minister on the Holy Spirit, Billy Graham was convinced he needed that anointing, that empowerment of which Olford spoke. This is Billy Graham already in ministry, already preaching in England. And what happens is he and Olford spend 2 days together, first day in the Word, second day in prayer together. And Billy Graham is mightily touched by the Spirit. And Olford said, his father said, and others said, you could see the change after that. So I posted the account again, which links to a biography written by a long-term team member of Billy Graham, a biography that came out some years back. And it shares that story. And then my friend Ron talking about it on video. And someone on Twitter gets upset. Oh, yeah, well, 3 weeks after you're dead, people are going to claim, make these false claims about you. I said, what are you talking about? This is a respected biography. This is a well-known account. Well, how do I know it's a respected biography? It's, the guy was a long-term team member of Billy Graham. It's published in his lifetime with Billy Graham's approval. And it's a well-known account, a well-known story on top of it. But this guy had such an issue as a Christian with Billy Graham talking about getting empowered by the Spirit after he was a believer that he couldn't handle it. He had to question all the sources. He had to question the team members of Billy Graham. He had to question the Olford account, and on it goes. Many of us are not ready for the Spirit because our hearts and minds are not open to the Word. Because if the Holy Spirit began to move, we've already written this off. We've already said it's not for today, whereas God is moving. Are we ready? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. In Wisconsin, Mike, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, my question is, and it's just really a practical one. I've been led to get out there and just start crying out, to Yahweh for just to plow my heart, just to touch me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just really seeking him, and I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, since we're on this topic, I really want the Holy Spirit to drop dynamite, as the Greek puts it.
Well, the Greek actually doesn't speak of dynamite. Yeah, the Greek doesn't speak of dynamite, by the way. It doesn't speak of, that's just a common misnomer that I address in my book.
Oh, dunamis,
Dunamis just means power, miraculous power. It doesn't mean dynamite that blows things up. So anyway, you want God to really visit you where you are in the life and power of his Spirit. The question is, how do you get ready? How do you open your heart the right way? So first thing, Mike, is really be searching the Scriptures. What does God's Word say about the Holy Spirit? What does God's Word say about the power of the Holy Spirit? What does God's Word say about being filled with the Spirit? What does God's Word say about the fire of the Spirit? What does God's Word say about what we can expect the Holy Spirit to be doing today? So the fact you're hungry, thirsty, crying out to God, that's great. That's in a lot better place than many others. Many others are not hungry and thirsty and either content with where they are or self-deceived into thinking that where they are is all that there can be. So that's the first thing. God prepared me for an outpouring of the Spirit in 82, 83 by having me teach on the prophets of Israel. And as I taught on the prophets of Israel and looked at how God got hold of them and gripped them and the experience they had in God and the unusual ways that the Holy Spirit moved on their lives, as that happened, it stirred my heart to open up more to who God was and what he wanted to do. And then just going through the book of Acts and going through New Testament faith and going through what was written in the rest of the New Testament, I became convinced that something was really missing. So that's the first thing. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Get stirred with that. Second thing is look at what God has done in outpouring of his Spirit in revival. If you haven't read a lot of that, some of my books just focus on revival, End of the American Gospel Enterprise and From Holy Laughter to Holy Fire and other books really focus on revival. Look at what God has done in history. Look at how the Holy Spirit has been mightily poured out in history, and how God has often moved, that creates a desire. That stirs your heart. And then read about how others had their lives and ministries transformed. I was looking online when I was looking to help this person denying what had happened to Billy Graham, try to give them other sources, just trying to reach out to the person in the midst of their skepticism. And I was reminded of the encounter D.L. Moody had with the power of the Holy Spirit as a believer, how he cried out, how he knew there had to be more, and how Charles Finney, after getting gloriously, radically born again, has a mighty, life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. So that creates a deeper hunger. John Lake, hungry and thirsty for what God had. It's not a matter of just wanting an experience. And I'm saying this not for your sake, sir. I'm saying it for the sake of others. It's not like, oh, I have to have an experience where I'm not going to believe God. Oh, I have to feel goosebumps. Oh, my hair has to stand on end. Otherwise, I won't believe. No, we believe because we believe. We believe because God is real and his word is true and Jesus is risen. We believe, period. All right? However, we also see that in the word, we serve a God who lives, a God who speaks and acts, a God who works today, a God who heals the sick, a God who sets captives free. And therefore, we want everything he has promised to deepen our relationship with him and to enable us to better serve a lost and dying world. So that's how I'd prepare. I'd study the word deeply to see what the word says about the Spirit and what the word promises about the Spirit. I'd look at how God has poured out his Spirit in church history. I'd look at how God has poured out his Spirit in individuals. And I would say, God, you're no respecter of persons. Prepare my heart. If there are areas, let's say I had areas of immaturity in my life or areas of flesh, I would believe that as I pressed into God, he'd begin to convict me of those. And I become aware, okay, you can't play games with sin if you want to be full of the Spirit. Or you're going to have to grow up if you can be entrusted with more from God. So I would believe that he'd be working on aspects of my character that were not right so that I would be not more worthy, like I earned something, but more prepared to be a good steward of the Spirit's power. And I just say, Father, I want everything that you have for me so I can know you best and make you known to a dying world. I welcome the life and power of your Holy Spirit in my life. And you'll be amazed, sir, to see what God does. Hey, thank you for the call. We'll be right back. If you have a Holy Spirit-related question at the end of the broadcast, I want to pray that God would really touch you as well, not just with your questions. So Mike and others, I want to pray for fresh fire of the Spirit in our lives. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Actually, even more dangerous than Heidi Baker.
Dangerous, Dr. Brown. You are well advised to avoid him.
Hey, friends. Glad you haven't taken that counsel. Glad to be here with you. And we pray for a blessing on our critics as well. Dangerous Dr. Brown. Hey, I have studied revival for decades. By God's grace, I was a leader in what some church historians have called the longest-running local church revival in American history. I've been in other parts of the world that are experiencing great outpouring of the Spirit with great harvest of souls. So it's been my privilege to be directly involved in a firsthand way in revival and also to recognize the intensity of what God does and how easy it is for people to get off track. But revival, outpouring of the Spirit, is dangerous to the religious status quo. When God moves, he rocks our world. 866-34-TRUTH, do you have a Holy Spirit-related question? I'm especially focusing on this topic, not only because it is relevant, but also because of the fact that tomorrow, Playing with Holy Fire, my latest book, comes out. And doesn't matter how many books you write, there's always the excitement. You know, some of you listening to me, you're the parents of one child and having the first child, utterly amazing, incredible, life-changing. But somebody will say, yeah, I've got seven kids now, and every kid, it's amazing and wonderful and life-changing. So with 30-plus books, easier, I guess, to write a book than to have a kid, right? 30-plus books, I'm still super excited about this. So if you haven't ordered yet, you can order on our website. We've got it along with a special message that we packaged it with, or just go to Amazon or any other online book dealer and take advantage of that, or go to your local Christian bookstore, Playing with Holy Fire. Can I just take you through the table of contents briefly, what I get into in the book as I've got the book in hand here? So the introduction, I talk about how the Spirit is moving mightily around the world. And stats and quotes there from reliable, respected church leaders and historians, I mean, eye-opening stuff about what God's doing around the world by the power of His Holy Spirit. But then I asked the question, chapter 2, why are we so gullible? Talked about that a little bit earlier. And one reason is we've seen God do amazing things, unusual things. We believe the unusual things in Scripture, but we have also failed to follow the biblical admonition of don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Then next, mercenary prophets. Oh, that's a heavy chapter. About people with prophetic gifts who use it to make money, who use it for financial gain, who charge you for prophecy or manipulate you to give. And then some are just outright charlatans, but some genuinely gifted and abusing the gift. That's a heavy chapter. And then superstar leaders that you have it everywhere in the body. But because being Pentecostal charismatic, there can often be this association with the power of the Spirit and this anointing, and you know, miracles come through us that we can really think we're like big shots, superstars. And look, I've been in meetings overseas. I'm not known particularly for praying for the sick or healing miracles. We've seen them happen, but that's never been my main calling or focus. But I've been in meetings where the crowds are surrounding the vehicle as you drive off, just wanting to get near you for a touch because they know that the Holy Spirit's working through you. Some people get confused and think that it's about them, not about Jesus, and the whole superstar leader syndrome. So I get into that. And then abusive leadership. Yeah, abusive leadership. You have it everywhere in the body, but especially in Pentecostal circles, because we don't want to touch the Lord's anointed. And then unaccountable prophecies. Just every kind of word can be delivered, and there seems to be no accountability and no checking. And sexual immorality. You say, well, sexual immorality is everywhere in the body, true. But I give some reasons why we may even see more of it in our circles. And then the pep talk, prosperity gospel, that is like a spreading epidemic plague, celebrating doctrinal deviance, where it seems the further out the teaching is, the more we get into it, to the third heaven and back in a flash, where we just think we can just go back and transport back and forth between heaven and earth all the time, and wanted to be wise like the world. Other parts of the Pentecostal charismatic movement has swung the other way and just want to be sophisticated and show the world how smart we are and all of that. And then we give the way forward. Where do we go from here? And then I reach out a word to the charismatic critics, explaining that, look, I've written a whole book about problems and issues, and yet I'm more convinced of the power of the Spirit today than I've ever been, or as convinced as I've ever been. Number one, because of the word, and number two, because of the amazing things I've seen. So yeah, I've seen abuse. I've seen ugly abuses. I've seen things, if I stacked them up, they're high. Oh, but what I've seen the Holy Spirit doing, what I've witnessed firsthand, what's happening around the world, on and on and on, you can't possibly stack it too high. It's hard to even comprehend how much God is doing. So I speak as an insider, but we must get our house in order if we're to be ready for what God does next. All right, we go to the phones with Aaron in West Virginia. Welcome, sir, to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for writing the book. I think it's timely. Second of all, I just have a statement with a question in it. I went to a large Bible college associated with the National International Ministry. Been around a lot of great men of God. And one of the things I believe I'm called to ministry, and one of the things my wife and I have discussed often, is the fact that you see so many things in the ministry. And as a result, there's good and there's not good. And I've followed great men like Dr. Lester Summerall, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, read all these stories. And I believe sometimes that people, honestly, my desire right now in my life, I'm a young 45-year-old, is to be all that God wants me to be. And I believe a lot of times what's happening now is people are really getting down to the point that they just don't want a sermon. They want something that is absolutely tangible. Mm-hmm. They don't want something that's not fruitless. They don't want something fruitless, but they want something tangible.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when it comes to the Holy
Spirit. Hang on. I just got to jump in, only because time is short. I want to make sure I can be of help. So your specific question, sir.
My specific question is this. Do you feel it is a possibility that oftentimes people don't understand the difference between, they make a difference between the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and God the Father? The Holy Spirit is not at war with the Word. He absolutely
got it. Understand. So absolutely. In other words, I'm not into this Holy Spirit stuff because I'm into the Word, as if the Holy Spirit is synonymous with shallowness, or the Holy Spirit is synonymous with emotionalism, or the Holy Spirit is synonymous with fanaticism. Now, someone said, well, of course he's not. He's the Holy Spirit. Those are all aberrations. Yes, but many people think that if you go the way of praying for the sick and seeing miracles, if you go the way of the power of God falling in a meeting and people falling to their face for hours in worship, if you go the way of deliverance and driving demons out of demon-possessed people, that means you're going to swing away from the Word. Now, it's true. Some people can get so intellectual that everything becomes cerebral and it's no longer experiential. And others can get so experiential that it becomes emotionalism and is detached from Scripture. But you are 100% right, sir. It is the Word and Spirit together. And that is the power of the gospel. The Word and Spirit working hand in hand. And of course, they are one, all expressions of the one sovereign God. So absolutely, to me, the more I get into the Word rightly, the more I hunger for the life and power of the Spirit. The more I walk in genuine fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more I'm hungry for the Word. And may the Lord fill you and touch you. And others that are hungering and thirsting for him, may he satisfy the longing of your soul with a deeper encounter with him, that you being touched by God can go and touch your world. Thank you, sir, for the call. Hey, I'm going to grab another call, but just a way that you can partner with me. We put heart and soul into these books, you know, labor many, many hours and pray over these things and work with publishers to get them out the best way that we can. You could be a blessing if the book blesses you. Tell your friends about Playing with Holy Fire. If you get it, think, man, I got to let others know right now, the day before it comes out, it's the number one new release in Pentecostal and Charismatic Christianity on Amazon. And wherever you order the book, please go to Amazon because it's so widely used, Amazon.com, and post a review. You don't have to buy from Amazon to do it. Post your review there, all right? And this way you can partner with me to help others know about the book. That's why I write it, to get the message out. We go to Fall in Greensboro. Time is short, so why don't you dive right in with your question?
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown. It's Fail, not Fall.
Fail, yeah. I apologize. It's my eyes.
That's
from
okay.
That distance. Thank you.
Yeah, my question is, and I don't want to be judgmental, but how can a minister, speaking of the Holy Spirit and revival, if you have revival the same time every year,
Got it. Fail. I know where you're going. Let me just jump in. We have this thing, especially in the South, in the United States, where
yes.
we talk about holding a revival or scheduling a revival. And all that means is a series of special meetings. Fail, that is not revival. That is a series of special meetings. You can no more schedule a revival than you can schedule an earthquake. You can no more hold a revival than you can hold a hurricane. Revival is not something man works up. Revival is something God sends down. So if people call it revival, in my mind, I just translate that into revival-oriented meetings, some special meetings. But no, revival is something God sends, God does, and we can't schedule it or orchestrate it. Thank you for the call. May God fill us to the full with the life and power of His Spirit.